الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء فسأكتبها للذين يتقون ويؤتون الزكاة والذين هم بآياتنا يؤمنون الذين يتبعون الرسول النبي الأمي الذي يجدونه مكتوبا عندهم في التوراة والإنجيل صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader, Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to continuously showing gratitude and making shukr for it, and not to deny us and deprive us of those blessings that we know and those blessings which we don't even know. Allah must continue showing favors upon us. The ayat of the Quran which has been recited, alhamdulillah, is the same ayat we are doing in the tafsir in the morning in the town masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that wa rahmati wasi'at kulla shay, that my mercy, it is expanding, it expands, it covers everything. And the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be mentioned in different levels. Last week also spoke on rahmah in one way, mercy. So we've had different levels of mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about His mercy here. He says it envelops, covers everything. Shaitan got very happy when he heard this verse. He says, I'm okay then. Because I'm also a thing and Allah's mercy comes over me. So basically I'm also forgiven. Now I'll carry on messing around, but Allah's mercy will cover me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, no, فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ. Allah ta'ala says that my mercy, I'm going to record it. I'm going to decree it for those people who fulfill three requirements. And what are the three requirements? One is يَتَّقُونَ, those who consciously fulfill their obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa means consciously fulfilling the obligations, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people also have got fulfilling of the commands of Allah, but not consciously. Just doing it, by the way, it's fashion, it's the time of the year to do so. No, consciously. So that's the first thing. The second thing Allah says, yu'tuna zakata, and those people who give zakat. And the third thing is, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِآيَاتِنَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, those people who believe in our verses. So there Shaitan was out of the window, he lost all hope. Because Shaitan neither got taqwa, nor does he give zakat, and obviously he doesn't even have iman. So these are the three things. One is taqwa, like I described, and there's a whole bayan on that, that a person carries out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing that how can I ever break the orders and commands of my Allah? Fearing that how can I ever set myself back away from Allah? Fearing how can I ever displease my Allah? That is called taqwa. So therefore I am going to fulfill the commands. Fearing how can I go back in life and move away from the closest of Allah? That is taqwa. Then yu'tuna zakat, those people who give zakat. Now normally when you speak of zakat, and this zakat word is used so many places in the Quran, and a person wonders, why has zakat been brought in here? What has zakat got to do? Now when you speak of zakat normally, then we look at the other end of zakat, that is the recipients of zakat and the benefit they are receiving, which is good, alhamdulillah. Through zakat, people are benefiting, and that is definitely something which Allah loves. But we must not lose sight of the starting point of zakat, the giver. What great rahmat and mercy of Allah he is attracting on himself, and the benefit to him, the person who gives zakat, the benefit to him, zakat is charity. The one who gives it, he comes very close to Allah, because the word zakat means he purifies himself. And through that, he is detaching himself from a worldly material thing. And when a person detaches himself, you know, he's giving money away. Then he is opening up a space for himself to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's great benefit. Never mind who benefits or who don't benefit. What benefit is there on this end for the giver? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says there's mercy for such a person. So that's the second thing to keep in mind. And the third thing is bi-ayatina yu'minun, obviously, to have iman and to believe in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, the verses in whichever form they are, in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the disbelievers can say, we also qualify here. We also qualify because there are those who say they have got, they say we are God-fearing. What is their translation of the word taqwa? So we also, like you fellows, jannatis. They also say we give charity. The amount of charity some of these people give, it's mind-boggling. So we also give charity. And they also say we believe. They say we are believers in whichever way they believe. So they can say, and we are justified in this verse of yours in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَ الْأُمِّ. Your taqwa, your giving of charity, and your iman must be according to how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught it. Those who follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their taqwa, in their charity, acts of charity, different forms, and who believe and who follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching in their belief. A lot of people say we got iman. Many people identify themselves also as Muslims. But their iman is so flawed that when a person looks at you, say, bhai, you are saying the word Allah, you are using the word Allah, but the entire concept that you have got of Allah and the way you got a belief with regard to Allah, unfortunately, is not the way that was taught by Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That means the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jama'in. So, the iman also has to be according to ittiba'ur rasul. So that is the thing. So Allah Ta'ala has said, my mercy envelops all those people who have got taqwa, who have got iman, and who give charity according to how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done it. Then, my respected friends and brothers, we come to another aspect which we were discussing last week. About Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatul lil alameen, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy unto mankind. A great amount of things were said last week, so still picking up from there, that this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the whole of mankind is subject to certain conditions. And if we fulfill those conditions and those requirements, then we will fall within the ambit of that special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will fall under the category of those who benefit from the mercy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if a person rejects Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he scoffs at him, he doesn't believe in him, he's got his own idea of whatever he wants to do, and he still says, no, I subscribe to him, then my respected friends and brothers, he is depriving himself of the rahmah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with. So the aspect of following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clearly brought out here. Nowadays you find again a group of people who say, we only stick to the Quran. We don't want to know anything about the Sunnah. We don't want to know the Sunnah as encapsulated in the science of Hadith. So they use the word Hadith, we don't know. So, by then how are you going to follow the Deen? If you say, I don't want to follow the Sunnah, I don't want to follow the Hadith, then how are you going to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Here is a clear-cut command in the Quran that you have to follow. Ittiba means you have to follow the Rasul. So anyone comes up to this story, I don't want to follow the Sunnah, then my brothers, I don't want to follow the way, the commentary, the explanation of the Quran as given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's also deprived of the mercy. So he'll read namaz, for example, he'll read salah, but he probably will face the Vatican. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us must face the Qibla. And he'll make no such does. He'll say, I just came and I just thought about Allah and the greatness, and that's my namaz. Right? Namaz, salah, whatever it is, all these things have to be according to ittiba'i rasul, following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sunnah, you must remember, is a very broad word. Many times we speak of the sunnah, then three things come to a person's mind. The miswak, which is a great sunnah, probably you think of the dress, and probably you think of the beard. Everything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taught, and approved of is sunnah. So every action of ours that we do has to be according to how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done. Sunnah is vast, it's beautiful. It's all encompassing the deen, it's the entire deen, my respected friends and brothers. People become sometimes, hey, what are you coming with Sunnah? Yeah, you know, they become afraid of the word Sunnah. No, we love the Sunnah. It's the way of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, my respected friends and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes one step further and He says, who's this Nabi? Ar-Rasul, al-ladhina yattabi'una ar-Rasul. He's a messenger. Al-Nabi, al-Ummi. Three qualities given here. Rasul and Nabi, normally, you know, we use these words simultaneously. What is the difference between Rasul and Nabi? So the scholars have gone into discussion just for the purposes of this talk here. Rasul is normally defined as that messenger of Allah who came with a Sharia. So a whole new set of rules pertaining to how things should be done and how things shouldn't be done. He receives wahi also. And a Nabi doesn't come with a new Sharia. A Nabi receives wahi, but he is still carrying on the previous Sharia of the Nabi that was before him. So we find that many times, you know, there was a series of Anbiya that came. And they just carried on what the previous Prophet had taught. That Sharia did not have to be changed at that time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the sake of this talk briefly, that is what the Rasul and the Nabi is. But then the third term is, subhanallah, is very beautiful. Al-Ummi. Now the word Ummi, as we take it like that, you know, it refers to one who is illiterate. Among the Arabians, and in the Arabic language also, the word Ummi refers to those people who never knew how to read and write, and a very, not a nice word is used, illiterate. But obviously, when we use the word for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we change it, we say unlettered. And also we must remember that while anybody else might be called, you don't know how to read and write. You know, when you tell somebody, what did this person know? He doesn't even know how to read and write. That means a poor chap is deprived of every kind of learning. This same term, when it is used for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is the highest form of compliment. So when somebody says, your Nabi is an Ummi, we say, yes, he is an Ummi, he is unlettered. And what is the miracle behind that? And why is it such a great compliment and an honor and accolade for him? Because having not learnt any kind of sciences from anybody, not having attended any university, madrasa, maktab, school, college, whatever, not having sat at the feet of any apa, maulana, teacher, professor, whoever it might be, this Nabi has come with such teachings that have boggled and astounded the minds of the greatest scholars and professors and whoever it might be. The teachings that he has come with are perfect. And not only teachings that have come from him, teachings that when they were implemented, they brought mankind out from the lowest of low to the highest of high. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praise them with radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. So if he is an unlettered prophet, and if he has come with this kind of teachings where he has introduced people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the realities of life, like we discussed last week, the gifts that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for the ummah, all these things coming from someone who never learned anything, and this is a great, great, great compliment to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alladhi yajidunahu maktuban indahum fit Tawrat wal Injil." You know, today we find, like you mentioned last week and a few weeks ago also, the amount of attempts that are being made to denigrate Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But it is not going to work because it just goes in the opposite direction. You must have received those clips where I think the Guardian newspaper also have got. They've got the hashtag, who is Muhammad? And they've got pictures of the Western scholars, of people like Gandhi and Bernard Shaw and all of them saying who Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. The Kufar newspapers are doing our job for us because others want to make a cartoon of him. This bus, I saw a picture of a bus. They say it is in one of the Western cities. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some quality is mentioned there, subhanallah. So the more these people try, they try to make Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam bad, the more Allah ta'ala uses those same opportunities to elevate the name of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alladhi yajidunahu maktuban," and that Nabi whom they will find recorded by them in their Torah and in the Injil. In other words, there are things mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are attributes and qualities that are mentioned in their books that will make them know who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. But look at the beautiful way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted this. Allah ta'ala did not say that the qualities of the Prophet that they will find in the books. Allah ta'ala said the prophets whom they will find in their books. In other words, the qualities are so clearly written that amongst whom, when this verse was revealed, those who see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in person will see him in their books. They went and they read, they say, this quality is here, this is the man. This is the man they are talking about. And that is how clear it was in their books. Now, there's another thing to keep in mind. When this verse was revealed, no one in that time, neither the Jews nor the Christians, refuted and said, no, there's nothing like that in our Bible, in our Torah. No, they didn't say it. They never said such a thing. Why? Because it was there. If it was not there, they definitely would have got up and said, it's not there. And they would have also used the opportunity to say, your Quran is lying, na'udhu billah. Your Quran is saying, it's in our books, it's not in our books. The fact that they did not stand up and refute it, alhamdulillah, it is a sign that it is there. Now over the years, we know the story of how the different versions, the King James version and the King whoever version, and this version and that version of Bibles that came about and got lost in translation and adulterated and subtracted and added, all those things. Ahmad did that, may Allah grant him great stages, did a great job in introducing that aspect to us. But there are still, despite that, there are still verses that make ishara, that means clearly indicate the qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their books. We're not scholars of the Bible, like how Sheikh Ahmad did that was. But for example, there is one verse in the book of John, that is chapter 14, verse 16, where Isa alayhi salam is saying, and I will pray to the Lord to send for you a comforter, written with a capital C, and then he will stay with you forever. That means, who is this comforter? Who came after Isa alayhi salam? And who Allah Ta'ala says, Rahmatul Alameen, for the whole of mankind till the day of Qiyamah, Inni Rasulullah ilaykum jamia, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is there in their books. In the Torah, there is a book called the Deuteronomy. And in that chapter 18, verse 18, mention is made, and the Lord said, I shall raise a prophet from within themselves, from amongst them. And he will do the following, he will speak my words, I'll put my words in his tongue and so forth and so. You find the scholars, the Christian and the Jewish scholars, when they found out that we identified these verses, they went to great pains to try and give another tafsir, another commentary of it. It doesn't work. It's a fact of the matter. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, they have been praised in the Quran. So my respected friends and brothers, these are the things that are mentioned about Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran Karim, the ayat continues, there are certain other aspects, inshallah, at another time we'll speak about it. But again, we need to be aware of all these things, and when we have the opportunity, first of all, Allah Ta'ala says, ittiba'i Rasul. By our actions, we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We attract attention. People look, what are you doing? Who are you? You say, I am that follower of that prophet who has been mentioned in your book, in verse this and chapter that, in verse that and chapter that, in the Psalms also it is mentioned. And alhamdulillah, our scholars have written a lot of books where they have extracted different verses that show about the coming of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this way, if we bring that into our life, not only will we be introducing him, but also going right to the starting of the talk, we qualify and justify to attract the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah says, my mercy covers everybody, but not everybody just like that. Everybody who chooses to come within the mercy by fulfilling all these requirements.